Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Crean. My friends, I gotta apologize to you in advance because I had a little too much to drink last night, so I'm kind of recovering right now. But I thought to myself, I gotta do this show before I leave the city. I'm still in Bosnia, and it's very interesting to see the what people graffiti. A lot of people graffiti here, which is weird. I thought I left LA. I thought I left San Francisco, but it turns out this a similar mentality of just drawing on everything that's a straight surface is not something that's uniquely American, incidentally. But anyways, I want to talk about 1984, the Orwellian novel. You might think that's a little out of nowhere, and you know what? You might be right. But when I see it, there was 1984 with spray paint in one of the houses. I immediately thought of Orwell, and I immediately thought about the state of our country. I thought of the state of relationships and everything, and I thought to myself, was Orwell right? Was he prescient? Was he full of crap? I'd thought about it in detail for 2 hours while I was on a bus. I thought about it, and it still kind of lingers in my mind. And I thought to myself, I think he was right in some capacity. When we look at the fact that Prism, you might not even know what Prism is. When we look at the fact that Edward Snowden, and I think that was in the news a day ago, like Julian Assange, the guy of WikiLeaks, he had some deal with the U.S. government to get rid of some classified information. When I look at Alex Jones going down, when I look at the fact that the people who want to have transparency, the people who want to, I'm not trying to put them out there as heroes, don't get me wrong, there's examples. But when I see the fact that the government seems to be getting more and more powerful, I have not seen the debates that happened, well, in the middle of the night for me, because I'm in Europe, but I'm going to listen to them today. It's going to be good. I've heard it's very interesting. So I'm going to be looking at that. But when I look at the fact that around here, you combine 1984 with the fact that I see a lot of women begging, actually, in the streets. You don't see it in America because we have a lot of Uncle Simps. We have a lot of welfare. We have a lot of WIC and EBT and all this kind of stuff like that. But when I come to, like, Bosnia, Croatia, the Balkans area, I see women with, like, six-month-old babies begging. I'm like, wait a minute. This is what the women in America would be like without the government to help their ass out. Without the government here to bail their ass out from having pookie spawns and leaving their husbands and all this kind of stuff. That's exactly what they look like. And I walk down the middle of Old Town, and I see woman after woman after woman after women, and all of them have, like, babies. I'm assuming that the babies are theirs. They could just be, like, some other, like, their sister's baby or whatever to help get more pathos appeal to get more money on the street. But I'm going to assume for a second that those kids are actually theirs. I want to ask you gentlemen something. When seeing a picture of a woman begging on the street with, like, a six-month-old baby and whatnot, is there some, like, poetic justice in that? Because I think there might actually be some poetic justice in there. You look at the fact that the U.S. government especially is so protective of women. They can't make a mistake. They can't do anything wrong. They're always right. They always get bailed out by Uncle Simp or Uncle Sam. And I think it's funny that in other countries, especially Muslim-dominated countries, they don't do that. Because they say, hey, you know what? We understand that Esther Vilar was right. I guarantee they wouldn't actually say it the way I just did. They would take the principle of what but money can bind a woman to a man, which is what Esther Vilar said. But more accurately, they understand the dynamics of human beings. And this great experiment called America, people want to pretend like there's no difference between you and your neighbor. There's no difference between man and woman. There's no difference between people of different political orientations, sexual orientations, religious faiths. Like, everybody's kind of just the same. And I find it weird that we are trying to make this a reality, but in doing so, we make everybody's life more difficult. Because with feminism and with the ever-changing roles of society, with the fact that I think Orwell was right in 1984 with the government and Big Brother, Big Sis, Big Brother spying on you, watching you, observing you. Well, that's what the government's doing. Every which way to Sunday, they're trying to figure out how better to exploit you, how better to extract resources from you to spend on things that don't benefit you. I think it's ironic that when you come to a, I have to come to a Muslim country in the middle of Europe to understand that we as Americans, we especially, and as American men, we are on the front lines of this experiment of freedom and how we think that we know best because we're, quote, the more free nation, when in fact, we're just trying to reorganize the human condition. We're trying to change how human dynamics, and it's totally blowing up in our faces. And when you go to a society that's more primitive, more fundamental, you see for the first time, at least I am, I'm seeing as an adult, I've traveled when I was a kid, but I didn't fully understand the weight until I've traveled more as an adult, that we need to stop trying to reinvent the wheel, especially when it comes to men and women and dynamics thereof, because that's exactly what's leading to the biggest problems in our society. I find it so stupid that we even have to have this conversation. You would think that people in government would understand the most basic ideas of human civilization, but they don't. And then they're going to argue, oh, it's oppressive. You know, you're oppressing women, or you're not being a good man. I never said I was a good man. I think the whole concept of being a, quote, good man is reprehensible, because then you're implying that any guy who actually cares about himself, cares about his own spirituality, his own mental health, his own physical health, his own financial situation, any guy who cares about himself is a bad man, versus you turn it around, any woman who does that, she's a great woman, she's smart, she's strong, she's independent. And if she's, quote, what a good man would be, she's a good woman. Like, women can't lose in that regard. They're always going to defend women. But it's like, well, defend them from what? The only thing that they could actually stand to be defended from is themselves at this particular point. And they'll never do that because they don't have to. And historically, they haven't had to, because someone else, usually another woman, has put them in check. In the same way that when I'm walking around the streets, the boys are taught by the men to walk in a line, to follow certain rules, where in America, the kids that don't have father, if even if they have a father, which a lot of them don't, they then have to figure the stuff out, usually the hard way, through the justice system, through the gang culture, through scamming, through drug dealing, you name it. And it's so weird to me that it took a sign of 1984 and seeing a begging woman on the street for this whole conversation to kick off for me. I think it's very poetic that you can see the most honest and raw realities in the most, what people might refer to as depressing situations, but I think it's interesting that in America, we take a lot of things for granted. I know I certainly do. The more I travel, the more I see a lot of things in America that I actually am very thankful for. But other things that I think are needing to adapt and change. Because the more we try to evolve past being human, the more we end up in territory that's really going to set us back in the long run. And there's only so far you can go left before you turn right. There's only so far you can evolve before you start to de-evolve and you start to become the very thing that you sought to destroy. So my friends, I'm really curious, what are some things in America today that remind you of Orwell's 1984? What about the story of me seeing women on the streets with, you know, what you might call pookie spawns, and they're begging on the streets? Why do you not see that in America? Well, I kind of already gave you the answer to that question. because, of course, the government's going to protect them because they're the biggest voting bloc in the Western world. So, of course, they're going to vote for things to help them. And a lot of men, you know, like Uncle Sim, Uncle Gump, and all these other guys who, you know, get married 2, 3, 4, 5 times to these women, they're going to vote for it. Versus, when's the last time you heard a woman talking about, hey, we need to pass mandatory paternity tests for men. Hey, we need to reform these marriage laws for men. Hey, we need the men to be more present. And to do that, we're going to pull back on the child support laws. We're going to pull back on the laws that really sabotage men. No, I'm not hearing any of that. Why? Because women are naturally narcissistic. And I know that word is so overused, but I think it's accurate, because when you look at the word narcissist, it comes from the word narcissus, which is a flower, but the flower comes from the Greek myth of Narcissus. Yes, he was a person in Greek mythology, and his whole story was he was so beautiful, so handsome, that all different types of nymphs and humans and even some of the gods wanted him, both male and female, by the way, and he just couldn't be bothered. So he was cursed by the goddess Nemesis. Yes, she was a real goddess of revenge and retribution, to fall in love with the next thing that he saw. And it just so happens that what he saw was his own reflection in the pool of water he was looking at. So he then became completely infatuated with himself, which is where the term narcissist comes from. It is to love yourself in excess. And when we look at the fact that a lot of women kind of fit the exact category that I'm talking about, hello, a mirror, hello, an iPhone, an Android, a Google Pixel, for God's sakes. I mean, my friends, I think it was Coach Greg Adams, shout out to him. He runs a great channel. He's done a lot to inform guys like myself on the side of the internet. It was him that I first heard this from, where he called the smartphone Lilith's mirror. And for those of you who don't know who Lilith is, I'll go on a sidetrack and I'll indulge me. I'll bring this down a side road and then we'll park this right on the street in a perfect parallel parking job, okay? Lilith comes from Jewish myth, where she was the first wife of Adam, and she was defiant. She was basically the spirit of the feminist. Now, you could find her in Babylonian mythology. I believe you can also find her in Syrian myth, I think. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's correct. But the whole story about her was she wasn't submissive. She didn't listen to God. She didn't listen to Adam. She was completely out of control. And she ended up hooking up with, who, you might ask? Not Adam. No. Not God. No. Oh, the devil? Oh, yeah. Samael, actually, to be specific, one of the archangels who fell from heaven. She hooked up with Pookie. Yes, that's right. The feminist hooked up with Pookie. Primal Pookie, we'll call him. We'll call him Primal Pookie. I'm sorry. I didn't think about that till just now. But again, it's a tale as old as time. This story has been told for thousands of years. And now she lays in a den of demons, always with her, like, multiple different, like, demon partners, spawning demons that are fixated on turning women to freedom, again, from men. As she freed herself from Adam. Does that remind you of any, you know, movement or people in the current Western world? Just a little bit? I think it was the group NWA, the old group from the 80s and 90s. I think it was mostly the 90s. But I think it was Ice Cube who said that not all women are bitches, but all women have a little bitch in them. And that's where this kind of comes from. At least if you believe in Jewish mysticism, that is. And I find it very interesting to kind of tie that into the feminist spirit and tie it into the more traditional spirit in, like, traditional Muslim countries. And I'm not glorifying the third world. or glorifying Muslims or Islam in any way, per se. What I'm saying is, when you look at how people still run societies in a very similar way that they did like 1,000 years ago, and you look at America, and we're trying to reinvent everything, the wheel, the grain, the relationship, the marriage, the church, everything, to fit everybody and nobody at the same time. You have to ask yourself, it's no wonder the governments can get away with spying on people like in 1984, where they find a camera in the wall or a camera in the painting. It's ironic, really. But my friends, what do you think about all this? I've been talking for about 15 minutes, and I think I've given you a lot to chew on, because I've been chewing on this for the last couple hours, especially, and the last couple days. Ever since I saw 1984 spread, I think it might even have been a typo, because around here, I see a lot of 1981 to signify something historical, but there was one that said 1984, and I thought to myself, it reminded me of all the different people who are like parroting everybody else. They're saying the same thing over and over again, and then there's that one person who says it like it is, that one person who speaks out of pocket that you might have seen once, and then that sticks with you. So just want to leave you all with that, but I find it very interesting. So my friends, if you have anything you want to add to the discussion, please let me know. I would love to hear it. But in the meantime, I encourage you to think for yourself and not just believe anything I say or anything whether it was Biden or Trump said in the debate, which I'm going to watch, by the way. But I encourage you to let this resonate with you a little bit. I think it's a very impactful last couple of minutes. But anyways, my friends, you take care of yourselves. I'm out. Take care. Peace.